How do you build a life as a creative? How do you ensure that your creative goals support your personal goals and that those personal goals can also support your creativity? Hey y'all, I'm Reese and welcome to Making Meaning. Making Meaning is a podcast by the Cohere Collective, here to help guide you along your path to make meaning in a way that makes sense for you. This week, I am joined by life coach and all-around coach, Calvin Blackman. Calvin's story is truly fascinating, and his life just embodies the energy of what it means to be a coach. From professional athletics to being a father to now being a life coach and an entrepreneur, he really embodies mentorship in everything he does. But that mentorship is a deeply creative thing. You have to understand how to create relationship, create motivation, and create the life around you that supports the work that he wants to do. And the creative process isn't always easy, but it's always worth it. If you are interested in working with Calvin or any of his offerings, everything will be linked down below so you can check out all of his stuff. Also, if this is your first time here at the Cohere Collective, welcome. We are so happy to have you here, a part of the collective. If you enjoy this episode, please consider subscribing, giving us a like, review, rating, comment, share, all of the things wherever you are listening and or watching. Okay, I believe that is all I have. So as always, let's take a deep breath. And get started. Calvin, thank you so much for being here with me today, for taking the time to have a conversation. I am thrilled to be chatting with you.
I appreciate it, Reese. Thanks for, it's always humbling to be asked to be a guest on a podcast and whatnot. So, love your platform, love what you're doing. And and ready to, take on this journey as we embark on whatever we're going to uncover here. But no, I'm excited. Thank you very much.
Of course. Absolutely. Well, to kick us off and hopefully set the tone for our conversation, first question is just, what is one thing you're grateful for right now?
I am grateful for, this is a good question. I was just listening to, and just doing some, saw some things on gratitude. I'm thankful for where I am in life right now. Obviously aside from family and friends, kids and all my wife and everything and roof over my head. I'm grateful for where I am right now in life. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I know we had talked about recording a few months back and I didn't feel like I was in a place to record. And I didn't want to do disservice to your audience and to your show. And so, here we are. And as I look back, still an entrepreneur, still building, still learning, never going to be where you want to be, but, I'm thankful for where I'm at right now and for the journey that I'm on. So,
No, I think that's wonderful. And thank you for, being transparent about that. And I think that that is something that more of us could learn how to do, is like, be really honest with where we are and the level that we're ready or available to engage, because I know I really struggle with that and wanting to just push through and get it done. But it's like, at what level are you showing up? Is that the level that you want to be at? So I deeply appreciate and admire that. Second question to just really open up our conversation is, what is your story? Of course, that is a really big, daunting question. Whatever you feel called to answer or speak to in this moment is perfect.
So my story, I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio. I currently live in Cincinnati now. I've been in Cincinnati for 20 years. I actually went to college at Miami University, not the U in Florida, but Miami University, Miami, Ohio, which is a small Division I school, played football there. And when I came out of school, I went into sales for many years. And I also took on the journey of a high school and collegiate football coach for some years as well. And after coaching, I got back into sales. I've been in logistics. So third party logistics is really where I've kind of cut my teeth when you think of the business world. Did that for a long time. I will say coaching college football, making $11,000 a year for 3 years was the greatest job I've ever had. And most rewarding. And then, about 7 years ago, I got into recruiting. I always joke and say, you know, no one ever, or not, I don't joke, but I think you hear from a lot of recruiters, no recruiter went to school for recruiting. Like you kind of just end up in it somehow. And that was the same way with me. And I'm thankful that the opportunity kind of came my way. And it's been an exciting journey, from taking on the career of recruiting to now taking on the entrepreneurial space and, starting my own business and figuring it out, failing, winning, so it's all good, man.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. Well, let's start right there with the failing and winning. Something that I feel is deeply important to specifically entrepreneurship and kind of striking out on your own, but just life in general and wanting to grow is being able to fail forward, right? And I think that that is something that sports very much teaches you because you're required to fail in sports and challenge yourself. Talk to me a little bit about the way that sports has helped you in this kind of winning and failing cycle of life, but also if there's other ways that it has informed your life philosophy and approach to how you kind of take on life's challenges.
Excuse me. Yeah. I think for me, it's been a matter of I've had to do a lot of reflection, right? I was recently on another podcast. I feel honored I'm getting to be on podcasts. My story is no greater than anyone else's, everyone has their own story, and we talked a lot about that. And for me, I've had to do a lot of reflection on what my career was when I was in college and whatnot, and who I was as a person, what did I learn? And, as I mentioned in my other, I didn't apply myself as much as I should. I used the term that I felt like my entire 4 years of college was like a washing machine, where I was just not necessarily going through the motions, but it was so much in the way my football career shaped out. So I only played 2 years of high school football and then I ended up playing Division I. So I didn't really know what I was doing. Right. So, as I was going through college, it was just kind of like, I'm here. How did I get here? Like, and before you know it, snap of a finger, it was over. So I've been able to now look back and reflect and think about, everything from, the effort that I put in, the attention to detail, the being intentional about, studying, going to watch extra film, working out, eating right, prioritizing football and school. I also prioritized partying, right? Like, and so like that had an effect on me, right? On my career. And so looking back on those things has taught me, I worked my butt off, right? I didn't screw off and do all those things, but when I was playing football, like I worked my butt off. Thing is, I could have done a lot more, right? You think you're doing a lot, but you don't, you could be doing more. So in my mind now it's, work hard, no one cares. You see that all the time. You see that quote, no one cares, work harder, right? So for me, it's just tapping into that. And then, thinking about like the systems that life is made of systems. So putting systems in place and being diligent and being regimented and all of those things. And as an entrepreneur now, like that is the most important thing. Like, how do I maximize my time in doing what's most important? That's going to, you know, keep food on the table and ultimately build a business and be able to, you know, give the things my kids and my wife need. So just tapping into that competitiveness, if you will, and understanding what you didn't do then, but you understand now, and I've been able to teach as a coach, but now it's implementing those same systems for myself and making sure that I maximize. And it's a work in progress. I mean, it is a struggle. Like, I could have done way more this morning before we started recording than I did. You know what I mean? And so it's those little things where it's like, don't waste time. You know, just put your head down and get to work.
Yeah, absolutely. When you talk about this quote, you know, work hard, no one cares, work harder. You know, what, I kind of have my interpretation and what that brings up for me. Talk to me a little bit more about what that does mean to you in terms of like what actually constitutes hard work. Because I think we all have different measures of that in different levels of what we're capable and able and have the bandwidth to show up with. But what does hard work actually look like to Calvin?
I mean, I'll tag it along with when I see that quote and I've seen, you know, things that go along with it. It's show up when you don't want to show up, when you don't feel well, when you don't feel like doing something. When something is extremely hard right now, it's going to be easier later. You know, I think it's about when you don't want to get out of bed, get out of bed. You know, for me, it's just about, they always say, you know, work where your butt is, right? Wherever you're sitting right now, that's what you need to be working on. Don't be looking at the future of, well, what if I go start looking at this job? And this, and there's something to that, right? But where you are, focus on where you are right now. And, you know, things are hard. So you just got to be able to, there's days you don't feel like doing it. And those are the days that you have to do it. And I, you know, I always used to ask, this kind of just randomly came to me, but I remember being, when I was playing football, like you may have a day where you don't feel like going to practice, right? Like we're week 8 of the season. It's now getting cold. Oh my gosh. Or I don't feel well. And it's like, I'm going to go to, and I would always say, if this was a game, would I play? Yeah. So I'm going to go practice. So I ask myself that a lot now. If I'm not feeling up to something, I'm like, yeah, I'm 42, but like 20 years ago, or if this was a game, if this was something I really, 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 really wanted to do right now, would I have the energy and feel up to going to do it? Okay, well then let's take that same energy and put towards what I need to go do right now. So it's just, I think it's just that mind. It's that mindset. And really,
yeah. So. Yeah. How have you cultivated that mindset? Because I think as someone who was an athlete growing up, but has not competitively played sports in a very long time, there is definitely an athlete's mindset that it is like when you are in that zone, nothing else matters. It is one track mind. You are focused. You are in it. You are with your team and your shared goal. What goes into that mindset for you? How do you continually return back to that focus? And even on days when it's like, okay, if it's a game, would I play? Yeah. You still have to make the choice to get up and do it, right? What builds into that motivation?
Let's not get it twisted, right? I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not David Goggins. You know, there's days where I can definitely do more. But I think, you know, when I think about what goes into that mindset, for me, it's about, I guess another quote is I heard, and I think about this as well. It's like being lazy is, I think it's something like being lazy is disrespectful to those who are counting on you. So think about my kids, think about my wife. Like, she's like, you want to go this entrepreneur route? All right. Like, so we're going to eat. We want to go to Disney next year. That's on me, you know? So it's just channeling that competitiveness into, you know, whatever lane that I'm in. And, you know, it's hard. I think too, one thing that I'm looking for, and if anybody, you know, whoever listens to this that I know, like, I need an accountability partner for the gym. I need that. And I've got a couple of ideas, but like going to the, I'm up at between 4 and 5 a.m. Most days, and I like to go to the gym. But I struggle with that too because of the way my schedule is in the morning with getting the kids off to school. So I think having an accountability partner is very important. When I was playing ball, right? Like, we'd have 5 a.m. workouts. If somebody's late on the somebody on the team doesn't show up, it's not that person's fault. It's our fault, everybody who didn't bring that person. And you've got to walk through the dorm, past a few of your teammates' rooms to go out of the building to go work out. So stop and knock on their door. Hey, you guys up? Good. Everybody up? Good. Let's go. Like, can't be late. Having that accountability partner, I think, is something that is, it's not, I don't think it's spoken about enough. You know, I think a lot of times we try to win our own battles. And, you know, don't do it alone. And so for me, it's about finding an accountability partner. My neighbor doesn't want to join me at the gym. He's a former college football player. I'm like, bro. He's like, it's way too early. I'm like, what do you mean it's way too early? Like, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I think you can really hear how much the team mindset has impacted the way you live your life and this notion of accountability, because it's like on a team, it's like it doesn't matter. One of us is late, we're all late. We are only as good as our weakest link, because that's where the chain is going to break, is at the weakest link. And in thinking about that and how it can be extrapolated to then your next journey of being a coach, right? That coach is still very much a part of that team and that dynamic. If anything, they're like the biggest accountability partner to all of those players, but also thinking about your family and your kids and your wife, that's the greatest team you could be on, right? And how much that level of teammate calls of you to step up. When you made the switch from athlete to coach, what was the biggest mindset shift that you felt for you?
That's an easy question. I mean, that's an easy answer, because as a player, you know, at least for me and for me personally, I was just playing. Coach say, do this, I do this. You start to understand a little bit of why, but, you know, hey, go to class. Hey, be on time. Take your hat off when you walk in the building. You know, sit up straight when coach walks in the room. Tuck in your shirt, tie your shoes. That was just like, felt like they were just pestering and asking us to do stuff in a sense. Then you become a coach. And as a coach, your job is to win. Your job as a player is to win as well. But as a coach, your job is to win. But your job is also to be a mentor for these players. And so I quickly found myself, it's like we do as, you know, as a parent. All the things our parents did and said to us, we start doing the same thing to our kids. It's the same thing in coaching, where I started asking my players to do all of these things that my coaches asked me to do. And I think from the player, from the actual game, like actually studying, watching film, and really honing in to my craft so that I could become a better teacher. So that the players could then go out and execute, because their execution is a reflection of the coaching. So my mindset shifted. And you hear a lot in sports, if I knew what I knew back then that I know now, like, it's so true, you know, and I would have been a much, much better athlete, much better football player if I had that same mindset and approach that I did when I shifted into the coaching world. So it was a complete mindset shift for me on just how I viewed football, the game, coaching, life, mentorship as a whole. It really just opened my eyes up, and I've been able to take and carry a lot of that on from coaching and from playing, you know, on into the business world.
Yeah. So then because now in your entrepreneurial journey, you are a coach, but in a very different framing, right? What is it like going from athletic coach to life coach to mentor to mentor?
Yeah, for me, and that's something I'm still working on, right? Because I can talk it. From a business mindset, I think I overthink it sometimes, and I try to be too—I don't want to say proper, but I try to be just too—I don't even perfect, but like I try to craft this like really, really structured like message, and it's got to be this way, that way, or the other. And I've got a coach right now that I work with. And one of the things he said, many things to me, but one of the things he said was, you know, think about the creative aspect. Always think about being creative when you're building something. And that takes the, what is it called? I'm drawing a blank on the word, but it takes the imposter syndrome out of it. You know, it takes that imposter syndrome away when you think about being creative, and instead of thinking, hey, I've got to make this post, or I've got to say the right thing to this kid or that, you know, I can talk to a kid all day about these things. And now for me, taking that and putting that into a business format and mindset, I've got to step back and say, hey, just put your creative hat on and let it flow. It will naturally take its course, and you can put systems and structure around it. So it's just reframing it from a field in a film room of watching plays to talking to someone like yourself, you know, and being able to really put systems around it so that, you know, that it can become a viable opportunity for people to leverage, to scale, and to grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is, you mentioned systems at the beginning of our conversation as well. When you talk about systems, tell me more about systems.
Not an expert on it. I can tell you that much, but I had a friend recently tell me, he was like, you know, like everything we do is a system. Like as humans, we need systems, and we have systems in place, good or bad. We have systems in place. And again, he was a football player as well. And we were just talking about, think about when we were playing ball, like everything was a system, the playbook, how we practiced, how we worked out. He was like, those were systems. You had a very structured schedule. So for me, it's about putting those systems in place in real life. And I struggle with it, but I'm mindful of it, and I acknowledge it, and I recognize that, you know, it's something that I hate to say I struggle with it, because now I'm telling myself that I struggle with it versus it's something that I'm working on. And, you know, I just believe having systems in place. And, you know, I think for me too, about when I think about systems, it's about not wanting to make sure a system is perfect. It's about just having it in place, but having flexibility with it and making sure that you are still getting the things done that you want to get done. But when you have a system in place, you know, you're able to maximize your time and really execute on the things that you want to.
Yeah. One thing that I heard a while ago, but it really stuck with me, was routine is what catches you when you fall short. It's like whatever your baseline habit routine system is, that's what's going to come through when you're not firing on all cylinders. That's when you are falling short, you are going to fall to whatever your autopilot is. So really having a strong autopilot and routine and system that works for you, I absolutely hear that. So important. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk a bit more about the decision to go into the entrepreneurial world, this self-growth improvement world. I think it makes a lot of sense that a lot of athletes, of course, there's the mental game as well as the physical game. So there is a lot of like mental toughness that you need to hone as an athlete. But going from a traditionally very tough, hard exterior, traditionally masculine trait kind of world into a more open, not that entrepreneurship isn't tough and motivated, but in this kind of coaching world, it's very like open, getting in touch with who you are and some of your feelings. And it's a little bit of a different tack. What motivated this shift in both career for you, but also in passion? What do you think it was that was kind of the tipping point there?
So I actually stopped coaching in 2011. And then I was in the corporate world for the last really 12 years. And, you know, I've always been the person who said, I just want to do something different. Like, I don't want to do the normal 9-to-5 job that, what do you do? Oh, I'm a XYZ. Like, I've always just felt like, why not me? Why not me? And I've never known what that was. I didn't even know that meant like my coach told me, he's like, that's what entrepreneur, I always mess the word up. That's what entrepreneurship is, like, in a sense, it's creating. And so when I realized I wanted to create, I didn't know what, I didn't even know I wanted to create. But I had made myself a promise now 3-4 years ago. I said, by the time I'm 45, I'll be running my own business. Didn't know what it was going to be. And then I put this post on my LinkedIn a few months back. Last summer, I was still working full time as a recruiter for a logistics company. And I had started my recruiting business on the side and had a few wins with my recruiting business. And it was the summer of 23, and I was leaving to go to work one morning. And we have a 7 and 8 year old, and my 8 year old, she might have been 7 at the time. She's like, "Dad, where are you going? Why are you going to work? It's summertime. We don't have to go to school." And I was like, "I got to go to work. It doesn't work like that for me." But I looked at her and I said, "You know what? I promise you this: next summer, I'll be at home with you during the summer." I didn't know that I was speaking something into existence. And then in December I was laid off from my job, but I already had a recruiting business and I was like, all right, here we go. Let's go all in on this. So for me, it's always been about, I just remember riding around years ago. Like, I'd be headed to work 8 in the morning. I'd see somebody jogging. First thought I'll have is, what do they do for a living?
Yeah. Yeah.
See somebody at the gym at 9:30 for whatever reason, I might be there. And I'm like, why are they not at work? You know, and it frustrated me for so long. And so those things there really have always, that always kind of was a spark of curiosity for me. And then making that promise to my daughter has been the other catalyst to that. So now we're fighting the daily fight and trying to figure it out. Figuring it out.
There you go. I love it. What do you think motivated, in terms of the promises you've made, but this first promise to yourself that by the time I'm 45, I'll be running my own company. Why that, because I think there are a lot of ways that we can experience like integrating freedom into our life and more flexibility. What is it about being your own boss, having this recruiting company and helping people through that called you?
I believe that, again, I was able to coach football, make $11,000 a year, live in a dorm for 3 years, and it was the greatest job I've ever had. That's hard to find. Some people never find that satisfaction. So having had that feeling that I wake up at 4:15 in the morning and I don't want to get out of bed, I'm 27, I got to be there and I got to put a face on for 100 kids and put them through conditioning for an hour and then go work for 12, 15, 18 hours and never once complain about it. So I'm coaching ball. Like there, I knew there was another way, path, profession, whatever, to get that same feeling. Just not knowing what that was. And for whatever reason, when I was 39 years old, I said that to myself. I said, you know, I've got to be doing my own thing because I want to wake up and I want to be jogging at 8:30 in the morning, right? And then I want to go knock out meetings and I want to go crush the day and I want to go have an impact on people's lives. And I want to be able to jump up and down and act like we scored a touchdown at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because we just helped somebody doing something that I truly enjoy versus, oh, it's almost 5 o'clock. It's Friday. Hey, got the Monday morning blues. Oh, I got to go to work tomorrow. Like, that's not me.
You're wishing your life away. Yeah.
I guess I can say it. I hate, thank goodness it's Friday. And I hate it's Monday morning. Like, I hate looking forward to the weekend. I heard it in a Drake song. Working on the weekend as usual. It's like the very first line in one of his songs. And in my mind, it's like, what makes Saturday any different than Tuesday when you're doing something you love? So that's it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And one thing I've been thinking a lot about is how to, like, because you hear a lot, especially in Western culture, like work-life balance and, you know, don't let work control your life. You want time after your job because the 9-to-5 is very standard. But then even in like European cultures, it's very, oh, well, we work to live, not live to work like you do in the States. And one thing I've really been thinking about is how do we break down this dichotomy between work and life, period? Like, why can't we find work that is fulfilling, satisfying, and what I want to do when I wake up every day? Like, if I got to choose what I wanted to do, it would be the thing that also sustains my life. So clearly I completely agree with you. And I have always hated the, like, just make it through this week, just get through this week, just get through this week, because you're what, white knuckling your way through your life?
Yeah.
No one deserves to live like that. When did you have that realization? Do you think that's something that's always been innate within you, or has it kind of developed or been awakened? Talk to me about that.
It's been developed and been awakened, because I think just coming out of school, like, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I ended up in sales, you know, and like logistics is a lot of fun, a lot of money to be made. But like, there's something about being tied to, like, there's something about just being tied to, like, on a leash at work. You got to go to lunch at this time. Like, you got to be here at this time. You can leave at this time. And that just never, like, just never has resonated with me. but I didn't know what that meant. Again, like I didn't know why I was having those feelings or those thoughts. It was more for me about just, I just go back to, again, that jogger at 8 a.m. Like, why do they have that freedom to be on a jog right now? I'm driving past them going to work, and this person, you know, hell, maybe they didn't have to be work till 9 o'clock. I don't know. But like in my mind, I was just always playing that. And it's just been one of those, I've just known, like, I can't go to my grave having spun around in a chair for 8 hours every day. And I used to have a quote on my LinkedIn. The Rock said, don't go to work for somebody else for 8 hours and then not come home and work on your own dreams or build your own dreams. Mm. And, you know, and I take that to heart, you know, and I said, you know what, like, hell, forget going to work for somebody else, period. Build your own dreams now.
Yeah.
And show my kids that, hell, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
If you put the time, effort, energy, work, and all that, nobody cares. Work harder, right?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think it is? Because there is this status quo, right? Of go to work for 8 hours for someone else, come home and try and enjoy, try and relax, like pour a glass of wine, watch TV, go to bed, do it all again the next day. What is it that calls some of us to break that mold? Do you think everyone has a calling to do it doesn't sometimes and just not everyone does? Or do you think that it is truly different for different people in that some of us are called to a life of flexibility and freedom and a different status quo?
I would imagine everyone has the thought in some way, somehow, of, you know, that freedom, flexibility, life, just doing what I want to do, right? I would think everyone has those thoughts. I also think some people say, you know what, like, I love what I do. I don't mind the structure of, you know, the 9 to 5 and doing what I do because I get fulfillment. I'm having an impact. I'm changing people's lives or whatever it is. And then I think there is something to opportunity. I think, you know, my wife always gives me a hard time. She's like, every time we go somewhere, you know somebody or you know everyone. This, that, and the other. My mom used to say it in college. Why do we walk uptown and you know everybody on campus? I'm like, you know, quote, I'm a social butterfly, whatever it is. But for me, I just always, and this is a pro and con. Like, I've always wanted to be in the mix of what's happening and what's going on. And there's a point in my life now where I've had to take a step back from that and really narrow my circle of friends, focus on what's most important now and in that aspect of things. But I also think that opportunity, meaning those chance meetings, don't happen by chance if you aren't intentional about doing them. Yeah. So joining a group, things I didn't do in school. I didn't join a fraternity. Like, I had a football team as a fraternity, but I didn't go do all of these extracurricular activities and things that you can continue to do in life, joining groups and being a part of this, volunteering for this, going to coach your kids, do all these things where you're meeting people to where then you don't know that if I go to the high school football game tonight, I may meet XYZ person who comes to me and says, hey, Calvin, like, we get to talking. Next thing I know, we're at lunch next week because we sparked something that led to opportunity, right? And everything. So I just think that some people may not maximize those opportunities for whatever reason. Right. And so they don't necessarily, Last example, if I don't decide to play football in high school as a junior, I had no plan to leave when I was coming out of high school. I hadn't, you know, my senior year, I had not applied for school. I hadn't done anything. Luckily, I had a great football season my senior year. The season ends and my coach tells me colleges are calling. I don't do that. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably still in Dayton, Ohio, but I took the chance to play football because some friends asked me to, and it got me out of Dayton. It got me to Miami. It got me in a whole nother trajectory to, I now know my wife because I went to Miami and moved to Cincinnati and met her. So I think it's just about taking chances on those opportunities.
Yeah. And I think it also calls for a certain amount of courage to do that, right? To turn away from something that feels like a sure thing to something that feels like a risk. But at the same time, it's like there is always the risk of staying the same versus the risk of change. It's kind of like, which would you rather have? One thing that's a very common thread in everything you've talked about as well is this passion for helping people. And in Making Meaning, in doing this podcast, that, if nothing else, is the common thread of how people find purpose, make meaning in their lives, that always comes through is making an impact, trying to make the world a better place, trying to help people. Where does that come from for you?
I think going through life feeling kind of lost. And I say life meaning, you know, my early adulthood, you know, and through my 20s and really through my 20s, which is a lot of 20-year-olds go through it, right? But I think the aspect of sports, because again, I only coached for 3 years at the college level, but there's probably 8-10 of my players that I communicate with via social media. We may text a few times a year, but they know that they can reach out to me for help at any time. And on the flip side, I've got coaches that I played for that I know I can reach out to for help at any time. I still call them coach for a out of respect, but also out of, because of everything they did for me. Right. I call people coach all the time. You may not even be a coach, but I'll respond in a message to someone. I may just say coach because for me, it's a level of respect that you're having an impact. Right. And so I view myself as a coach, not just a football coach, not necessarily a life coach, but just coach. Like, what do you need? If I have the answer, I can help you. If I don't have the answer, we can figure it out. We can point you to somebody who probably does, but you know, it's not going to be a dead end. And I'm also, a coach is also a student. So yeah. I'm also trying to learn and better my craft every day. So I think it just comes from wanting to, the generic answer is wanting to help, but just understanding what coaching means and has done for me throughout life, and having those mentors that I can pick up the phone right now and call 10 different coaches and they would answer and help me with whatever I'm struggling with. And while I'm building this business right now, I'm reaching out to coaches. Coach Maddox just text me a few minutes ago. I haven't seen the guy in 13 years, but I said, I got a favor. And he said, I'll call you today on our way to our bus trip. His team he's with now is coming to play my alma mater, and I hope they lose, but we can talk about the things that I need to talk to him about. And it's been 13 years since I spoke to him, you know? Yeah. So he's willing to help.
What do you think it is that motivates human beings as a whole to want to help? What is that? Is it something that's specific to humans? Is it human nature, or is it a trained, a socialized trait to I suppose, like through evolution, continue the species, or what is that? What is that drive to want to help each other?
I think it's a part of, I think some of it's human nature. I think some of it is, but I think a lot of it too, you just have to be, you have to be intentional about wanting to help people as well. You know, I don't think everyone, there's bad people in the world, right? So I think you have to, it has to be, it has to come from somewhere, and hopefully you've seen or have experienced what help has done for you or how you've helped someone else. I think that in itself, is something that is learned, and it's how it's learned. You know, I think like if you think about, like if you think about neglect early on, how someone is neglected has a huge impact on who they become, at least early on, and until they get help. You know, they're kind of stuck in this, they could potentially be stuck in this, kind of this world of, I don't know, like of where to go. So, and we always say this too, if when you think about corporate, like corporate world, like when you get hired to a job, what is the one thing you want when you get hired to a job? Training, help, coaching. What happens when you don't get it? You leave. When companies don't offer training, or they say, hey, here's 2 weeks of training, and then the person fails. It's kind of a reflection on yourself and what you guys are doing. So people want to be coached and want to be helped. So yeah, I think it's just I think it's a matter of if you want to be helped, you're probably also willing to give the help as well and to pay it forward.
I mean, it's kind of goes back to the golden rule, right? Like, treat others the way you want to be treated. If you know there is something that you would like, that you need, it feels instinctual to try and provide that for others.
Yes.
Flipping gears, once again, one thing that I am always fascinated by, especially in these conversations about purpose and passion and helping others, spirituality, religion. Does that play a role in your life? Is that a part of your ethos, your worldview? Do you have a strong spiritual background or not? What is your relationship with higher power of the universe?
Great, great question. Haven't been asked this question on a, and not like I've been a million podcasts, but I haven't been asked this question in a while. If I have ever, grew up Southern Baptist, grew up Baptist, going to church, didn't like going to church as a kid, you know, mom forcing you. But it's one of those things that my mom always was, has and always will be in my ear about. You know, I was baptized in high school. I went to church, but it was now my church, my memories of church in high school were sitting up in the balcony with all the other guys, because we're in high school, telling high school stories, telling our sports stories from over the weekend, but we were at church, right? And we would listen, right? And then hell, I didn't go to church for after high school for many, many years. And then faith is 100% a part of my life. I mean, it is everything for me. I'm not someone who speaks on it. You know, if I were playing football and they asked me, you know, how'd the game go? I'm not the first person. I'm not the person who's going to say, you know, I want to give glory to God and all of these things. I believe that. But that's not the message or that I give off. But for me, right now, we don't go to church nearly as much. And I don't, you don't necessarily have to go to church to have, you know, your faith and your belief. But I do think there's something about the structure and foundation of going to church, and the opportunities that it brings. You know, there's a father-son camp here, with the church that we used to go to or belong to, that I've been wanting to do. The children's you know, children's community at the church, like all of those things to me are as valuable as anything else. And so I know when, you know, when you're having, when things are going great and when things are, you know, maybe a little bumpy or rocky, like stopping to talk to the higher, to the man above, you know, for me is something that I do sometimes and have to do more, you know, but I, you know, faith. But on the flip side, my wife didn't come up going through church, right? And it's not something we talked about before marriage. And so it's been one of those things where, you know, we've had to figure out what that good balance is and we've gotten away from it. But again, kids are 7 and 8 now. And so for me, it's, hey, at least, cause they ask questions, right? So for me, it's at least, you know, I want us to be able to answer those questions and at least give them the opportunity to make their own decisions, to understand what faith is and what it means to them.
Hmm. I mean, religion, faith, it is a system. The church system, it is a system to fall back on and rely on, right? That was very similar to my parents' approach in raising me and my brother is, we want y'all to make your own choice and explore all that there is to explore about spirituality. But when you're a kid and you just have questions, sometimes having a system really provides some comfort that is necessary to grow and evolve and then begin to investigate and stay curious about spirituality. I think that's really beautiful that, you know, you want to create a space for your kids to explore. Going into final few questions. One, in light of our conversation, of everything we chatted about, of everything that we got to and didn't get to, is there anything we missed? Anything you want to return to? Anything you want to reemphasize? Anything you'd like to add in? This is space for you to share, offer, anything at all.
That's a good question. I'm gonna pause for a second. I think for me, you know, I think because of present day, right? Entrepreneur, figuring it out, going through the peaks and valleys, staying the course, and figuring out what works best for me, what works best for my family. You know, those are, I think that's just, right now, that's what's most top of mind for me. So, you know, I don't know where you know, where we could potentially go with this, but I mean, that's just where I am right now. Not necessarily talking about my business, but more so just life in general. You know, I think we go back to, I had to, you know, I wanted to reschedule this, right? And I remember when I saw your email come through, I was like, one, great, she followed up. Two, I'm in a much better headspace right now. And go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, let's go there. Why do you think you're in a better headspace? What is transitioned?
My personal is, I'm not one to make recommendations, but getting a coach. The irony there. Right. has been like, I don't know, words can't really describe what he has meant and done for me. I know there's good coaches and bad coaches. That's not even, you know, not, and I know people, well, there's everybody's a consultant now and all of these different things. But when you find someone who genuinely cares and genuinely knows what they're talking about and has a purpose and knows how to guide, not once has he ever told me what to do. Never has he told me what to do. He asks questions And I, as you and I learned, right, through the course that we met, he asks the questions and he lets me figure it out on my own. And then he invites me to tap into whatever energy that is and to be creative, because, you know, he hasn't necessarily said this. He said a lot, but like for me, it goes back to like when we look at little kids, they don't have a stress in the world. We put all this on ourselves and we put these expectations and these deadlines and this, that, and the other. And we start wearing ourselves out. We start turning gray. I'm bald, so I'm not gray up there, but there's a lot of gray in this beard. Like we start adding all this to ourselves. And he just constantly invites me to, you know, in more words, but man, you're right where you're supposed to be. What's the worst thing that's going to happen if your business doesn't take off? If you don't pay the mortgage next month? If you have to go back and get a job? He's like, is life going to end? He's like, you're right where you're supposed to be. Step away, take a time, be able to take time away and put your time where you feel it needs to be. You know, like I struggle with my daily schedule. He's like, and I'm like, I feel like I should be doing this. And he's like, or doing this or doing, he's like, says who? I don't know who says who. He's like, you're right. He's like, right. He was like, and you know, then he coaches me through that. And it just kind of, it resonates with me. And I made the comment to him. I was like, you know, I used to reference an artist that I wanted to be like, but he's in a lot of trouble right now. So I'm not going to reference that dude. But like, I used to always want to be like the producer, like a music producer. Because I see how artists work. Like I used to have a neighbor who was a very big DJ. And like he would be up at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning making music. And then he would sleep and he would just be doing, then he would travel and go do travel. And I always go back to like artists create when they feel like they need to create, you know, they artists don't wake up at 7:30, eat breakfast and start making music from 8 to 5. Like, they hit the studio when they need to hit the studio and they're in that studio for 2, 3 days or whatever their process is. And for me, it's been tapping into that. So like this morning I said, I could have done a lot more and that probably would have stressed me out back when we were going to record the first time. I've learned to say, you know what? Like, all right, I didn't get as much done as I wanted to this morning. Right. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Like tomorrow's not the weekend, it's just another day. So let's tap into it tomorrow, get up tomorrow morning, get what I need to get done. Cause guess what? Everybody else is gonna be asleep. So let's get some work done. You know what I mean? Before the rest of the world gets going. So it's just being able to tap into that and be able to just say, hey, it's okay. It's okay. Mm. So.
It will always be okay. And I think that is a beautiful place to round out our conversation. Awesome. Last question to just put a little bow on it is, what is one word to describe how you're feeling right now?
Watch us bring this full circle, but grateful. I feel grateful.
I ditto. Not an eloquent word, but yes, Calvin, I cannot thank you enough for your time and energy and honesty and openness and having this conversation with me. Thank you so awesome. Much.
Absolutely. No, thank you. Thank you very much, Reese. It's an honor to, you know, again, to anytime you're asked to be a guest on someone's platform, you know, I don't take that, you know, lightly at all. So, you know, a genuine thank you very much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. My pleasure and privilege. Thank you all so very much for joining me today. And of course, a huge thank you to Calvin for his time and energy during this episode. I have met so many interesting people through my life coach certification and developing what working with people one-on-one is going to look like for me. And I love getting to hear how other people approach that work, because the phrase life coach is so overused and I don't really love it, but knowing that different people are in this space and getting to hear what that means to them is always so inspiring to me. Again, if this is your first time here at the Cohere Collective, or if you are coming back, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening. Leave us a like, a rate, a review, a comment, share the episode. It actually is a really wonderful way to start conversations with people in your life, I have found at least, but that is the best way to support the podcast and the content we create at the Cohere Collective. If you are interested in any of our other content or offerings, you can head on over to www.thecoherecollective.com to check everything out. If you are interested in Calvin's work or offerings, everything will be linked down below in the video description, so please go check out his work. And a huge thank you to Nicole Ostreicher for making Meetings art and podcast cover. You can find her on Instagram at Nicole O Creates or Nicole O Design. And a big thank you to Tristan Morgan for making Meetings theme music. You can find him on Instagram at Tristan Morgan. Right now, I am feeling revved up. It's an interesting one, but I really am. I'm feeling really productive and also a little overwhelmed, but also excited for the creative space that I'm entering into. And so it's this weird combination of the fear of being on the edge of a precipice and what that can bring, but also trusting that and leaning into it anyways is exciting. And so, yeah, I'm just feeling like the energy of all of that. It feels very kinetic, maybe is a good word for it too. One of my quotes for this new year, because, you know, first episode of the new year, thank you for being here, and also the Lunar New Year is tomorrow. It's tomorrow from when the episode comes out. It's Wednesday. Yeah, so tomorrow from when you're hearing this, if you're listening to it on the day it came out. But one of my quotes for the new year is Carl Jung, and it is, where your fear is, there your task is. And it's such a good one, that if something is causing fear, like, lean into that. Why is that happening? Either there's something unhealed there that you should be working on, or there's something deeply exciting there to chase after. And I think this right now for me is a little bit of both, and I'm excited to see where it goes. Thank you all so very much for being here today, and I hope you feel like you are living more coherently. Until next time, love.